going to do something weird again this time and introduce the show at the beginning of the show.
So are we going to go with in which we mourn the loss of Adam Part 2, or are you there, Adam? It's us Marooners talk.
I'm okay with either one. What do you think, Lindsay?
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Alright, well, this is episode 38 of Marooners Talk. I don't have a coin to flip. Are you there, Adam? It's us, Marooners Talk.
You know, I like that one better, and not just because I came up with it. No, really, because, you know, in which we mourn the loss of Adam, part two. I mean, it's just like, yeah, we've already had part one, you know?
Right. You know, it's like, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, we could have talked about The Dark Knight Rises.
That's
but
right.
In the time that I have taken to see it twice, you all have seen it no times.
This is correct.
Yeah.
So
deal with it.
So we can't talk about it, except to say that my favorite part of the whole movie is that moment when Superman shows up and saves the day.
Right on. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. You know what? Now, especially, like, you think about it. Like, Lindsay, if she knows this, but Chris Nolan is producing Man of Steel, and his brother co-wrote it. Mm-hmm. So,
I do know this.
Yeah. You know, it's possible that, you know, maybe he did show up. You ever
it's
think about funny. That? You know?
Maybe.
Is it, or is that one of those spoilers that I just make up to tease you all the time?
No, it's not real.
No, it is real, actually.
Yeah.
Technically, because the Man of Steel trailer runs before Dark Knight Rises.
Yes, I
not
know
in IMAX.
Oh, yeah, but we don't watch it in IMAX.
You should watch. Oh, you should see Dark Knight Rises in IMAX. It's great.
Well, I saw Dark Knight in IMAX.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was good, but the IMAX theater we have here, if you're not there first in line to get the back row of seats, because there are only, I think, 6 rows in our IMAX theater.
Your IMAX sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's tiny, and so unless you get back center, you're fucked, like, looking back and forth and back and forth and up and down all night.
What's, you know what? No, I'm not going to ask what your zip code is, because that would be kind of creepy. And to say over, because is that at the Edwards Fresno Stadium 22 in IMAX?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious, because I'm like trying to find you a good IMAX theater.
There isn't another
That's
one in Fresno.
God, you got to go to like San Francisco for that, man.
Yep. We have to go either up to the Bay or down to LA.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
SoCal.
Yeah. So, you know, here in the great city of Chicago, we have the Navy Pier IMAX, which has a whole boatload of seating and reserved seating. So when you book your tickets online, you can actually pick out your seats.
You know, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our IMAX theater is literally just that one theater that has that one room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen the like, quote-unquote, fake IMAXs. There was one down the street from where I worked at High Voltage, actually.
Conduit 2. So.
Yeah, so it was just like, there was one day after work we all went to see movies.
Nice.
And by we all, I mean like Vinny and me. And I think Jake may have shown up. He was one of our other coworkers, and he was drunk and loud and annoying, and we generally tend to block him out of memories and stories.
Hi, Jake.
He's not listening.
You never know. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, stranger things have happened, and if he's listening, I will, like, eat a sock.
So
like a clean
one. What's Jake's name? Is he on Twitter?
No, he's not on Twitter.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'll see if
he
I can
would
find
be
him
constantly
have him
making
to the
fun
episode.
Of me if he was, because that's what he did.
Hey, Jake. Hey, what's up? Maybe we should title this one, Hey, Jake.
Hey, Jake, listen to this.
Or,
yeah.
Hey, what was the name of the guy you guys shared the hotel room with at E3?
So, superhero matchups, huh?
No. Before this, because this is the first time that Lindsay and I have been on a Marooners Talk since E3 of last year, in which I spent seem to recall spending about 5 to 10 minutes extolling the virtues of a certain game that came out about 2 years ago. What game was that? It was really popular. The third one in the franchise came out this year. We talk about it every episode.
Assassin's Creed, they're coming out.
Mass Effect 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that?
I seem to recall somebody actually played it.
I did.
Yeah. And
only
loved
once.
It.
I only played through it once.
Yeah, but didn't you love it? Fell in love with Thane. Cried
Thane.
A lot. Three.
Oh, Thane. I haven't finished 3.
Cried a lot in 3 because you. I know you got far enough.
Well, she had Thane's death, and then the next day she had Morden's death.
No. It was the same night.
I could have sworn you did it once, and then the next morning.
No, it was the same night. It was just back to back, boom, boom, and I was like.
Yeah, and that's when she stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say this. You're welcome.
Okay. I am not going to thank you for crying over Thane. God damn it.
No, you should thank me for introducing you to the amazingness that was the first 95% of the Mass Effect series.
No, okay, here's the thing. To be honest, the main reason that I went and I picked
I know, but I still laid the
framework. Why do you know? Why do you know?
Because you told me on Twitter.
What did I say?
That it was because of @MishaBeans or whatever her name is that you all actually played. Yeah. You know what? I'm still taking credit because I laid the framework.
Planted the seed?
I did.
Well, you know,
BioWare, you're welcome.
You. I know I didn't think of you one bit when I was playing it.
Yeah, I know. I hate you for it. And that's why we don't invite you to play games with the UB Dream Team.
It's okay. I'll make my own goddamn Dream Team.
Yeah, we'll see how good they are.
The Dream Team, that's something other than the 4 celebrities they pulled together for Ghost Recon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
no, the UB Dream Team is me and Andy and a bunch of other people from Twitter, and we just get together and kick ass.
Nice.
Or so you think you do.
I think there are only actually 2 people on the team that that play or that work for Ubisoft.
Yeah.
It's Tim Nitch. Yeah. He's like the lead multiplayer designer for AC3, I believe.
Yeah.
And this dude Josh, he's one of their marketing guys in the UK. And they are both actually really good.
Tim actually used to work at Codemasters before, and I kept heckling him to be like, hey, when are you guys going to make Overlord 3? Hey, when are you going to make Overlord 3? So then when I found out that he was, you know, going to be going to UB, and I was just like, dude, it better be on Assassin's Creed or get the fuck out. And then it turned out that he did. I was like, yes.
One of my favorite things was one of the people I've come to play with on Xbox Live is this guy named Andy, who's one of the community folks for Reflections, the people who did Driver San Francisco, and are also working on Watch Dogs.
Oh.
And leading up to E3 the whole time, he's like saying, and there's like, we have a big reveal coming up at E3, and I'm all like, Driver Chicago or GTFO. You know, and the whole time he's just like, I wanted to say something. And then as soon as Watch Dogs was announced, I instantly got on there and saw that they were one of the studios listed with it. And I said, if you drive a car, it's Driver Chicago. And I was right. And sure enough, you drive a car. I don't care if it's called Watch Dogs. I was right.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Oh, God, that game looks great.
It's a really interesting concept.
Yeah. I actually ended up being downtown right in on that block like about 2 weeks after they made that announcement. I put a picture on that, or took a picture of it and put it on the Twitter, and was like, it does not look like this in real life. Do your fact checking, guys. Because they're actually, because like across the street from the Chicago Theater where they have a pizza place is actually an empty remains of a Borders bookstore.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of sad we don't have Borders anymore.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think I would actually prefer if that was a pizza place now.
Or maybe a shawarma place.
Maybe. There's a shawarma place right by my apartment. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but then you'd get Tony Stark there.
Only if he had just recently saved our planet from crazy space invaders.
I mean, you know, it happens so often that, you know, the odds
Mark Ruffalo
are in your favor.
Wouldn't have far to go because he's from Kenosha, which is just like a little over an hour away from here.
We'll see. It all makes sense.
Yeah, we Misty and I were in Kenosha last weekend for a wedding, and we passed a little store called Ruffalo's, and I really just wanted to stop and take a picture of it and put it on Twitter and be like, stopped in here, but found out that Mark Ruffalo wasn't working. What the hell, guys?
Oh, man. Oh, that's too funny. Well, it's like, did you see when I tweeted over this past weekend the Ermagerd?
Yeah.
Oh.
What, the Ermagerden?
Yeah, the Ermagerden. No, not the Ermagerden, but the license plate, Ermagerden.
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah,
did
I just...
Did you also tweet something about True Blood recently as well?
I did, this morning.
Yeah.
What was
it? You know Pam?
Yeah.
She is from Racine, Wisconsin, where Misty is from.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Kristen Power.
I have not seen a single episode of this season.
It's good. The one that they had last night was actually really, really, really ridiculously good.
Okay, because last season was terrible.
It got a little cray.
It wasn't that it got crazy. It was just that it was terrible. Although the high point of it, though, was when they finally got to be awesome and he ripped the heart out of the dude who was wearing the World of Warcraft shirt.
Yeah.
I was just like, you had it coming, Cataclysm guy.
Yeah. No. So far there have been a really high amount of true deaths, and it's just delicious.
Has Russell Edgington showed back up yet?
Yes.
Because he's the best villain ever on that show.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's the reason why, like, the episode last night was, like, proper, amazing Russell. Like, it was so good.
Did he pull the spine out of a newscaster on live television again?
No, because that
was epic.
No. No, it was brought up, though. But, there was head slicing and hallucinations. What is that sound?
I don't know. What's that sound, Chris?
What was the sound?
Are you moving around?
Are you dragging bodies?
Yeah, seriously. Oh.
Body.
But there's a head slicing. And, dude, it's just so sick. It's so good. It's so good.
Well, that's good to hear. I will have to find a way to catch up with it.
Yes, you should.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So cakes.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Waiting for the True Blood talk to finish.
He's just mad because he doesn't like True Blood.
I know.
To be honest, I've never given it a chance. But.
Yeah, it's... I told him that it's really good, and, I mean, he already knows about the Renee plotline from season one.
I won't go so far as to say it's really good, but it's a guilty pleasure.
Mm.
Well, did you like the Renee storyline?
The which one?
Renee from season one.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty all right, actually.
Yeah, but, like, okay, so his Cajun accent, how well? I mean, that was, like, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so it was actually because of the accent that I prematurely ruined the Renee reveal to myself, because I wanted to know if the actor, I can't remember his name, I wanted to know if the actor, you know, if he really was from that part of the country, and if, you know, that really was just his accent, because it was just so well done.
Let me guess, he's English.
No, he's just like regular, I guess. I don't know, I can't remember. And, yeah, that's when I found out the Renee and whatever his real name was and everything. And I'm like, no. So I've avoided the internet pretty much after that. So I don't want to spoil it.
I watched pretty much all of it in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
Oh, he's from Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, he did a damn good job with that accent. Like, that was crazy. Yeah, no, that's what I did as well. I did it, like, right before season 5 started. I was pretty much watching it. Well, I use the term watching, but I had it playing while I was working. So I was still able to follow, you know, everything that was going on without having to sit there. But, yeah, I went and...
Chris, you're a bastard.
What? Oh my god.
It's Voltron made of Nicolas Cage faces.
Oh my god, it's too much. Oh god, okay, so on his left leg, the top one that would be the upper thigh, the crazy face with the goatee and those eyes.
See, I like the one where it's that same face up on his, what would be his left arm.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks
like
it's vomiting out his soon face just below it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't unsee that now.
You know what? You don't need to unsee it.
But, yeah, no, so that's essentially what I did. I was watching about 8 episodes a day and just blasted through everything to catch up and start getting into season 5.
I was just blasting through it because I was newly unemployed and bored.
Actually,
a valid reason.
Well, no, it's funny that you say that because I've been actually searching for new like TV series and stuff like that to get into.
I have recently started Destination Truth.
I don't know what that is.
Mm-mm.
It is a sci-fi original series.
Uh-oh.
About this guy who goes around the world looking for cryptozoological creatures.
Interesting.
And I've gotten through the first few episodes, or all of season 1, which is only like 6 episodes, and the first 2 or 3 episodes of season 2. Mm. And I think the guy is a bit of a dick. And like, okay, I'll be honest, you know, it's kind of hard to not be skeptical when you're going to these places as a scientist and, you know, like, keep an open mind to it, but that doesn't mean when the person can't speak English that you have to be a dick about it in their face.
Aww.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, come on, man, be a little respectful of people's cultures here. Maybe they'll be nicer to you.
Yeah, that's a little uncalled for. Yeah, I did the series binge stuff with Merlin. Do you watch Merlin?
No. I've heard good things. Isn't Anthony Stewart head in it?
Yeah, he was in it.
Oh, did he die?
Yeah.
People die.
Well, he had to. He was Arthur's father.
Arthur had a father?
Uther.
Yeah.
Uther Pendragon, King of England.
I don't remember these things. I thought Arthur didn't even start out as king.
Arthur doesn't start out as king.
He didn't.
But I mean, he wasn't even, like, as I recall, he wasn't even, you know, royalty.
Are you thinking of the Disney Sword in the Stone movie as your basis of Arthurian legend?
I was thinking Once a Future King, but I haven't seen it in forever.
Okay, there are a couple of different takes on the Arthurian legend, and I could sit here and spend the next couple of hours talking about it, but Merlin is a travesty. It's crap. So is Camelot. Both of them just piss all over Arthur and Merlin.
If you just said right there that there are a couple different versions of it, that means that there really is no canon.
No, there are two ways to look at it from two different perspectives.
Okay, well, what do you think of Sword in the Stone then?
Sword in the Stone was an entertaining little cartoon that tried to follow along to Once and Future King.
And it was great for what it was.
And yes,
it was
there
good.
You go. It was good for what it was.
Kind of like Robin Hood with the fox.
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
The fox. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Disney.
The greatest. Well, no, the second greatest Disney cartoon of all time, second only to The Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, that was such a good movie.
That movie's amazing.
Well, no. Speaking of Robin Hood, have you watched the Robin Hood TV show?
Nope, but Misty's former roommate was a huge fan of it and even made a sim of herself where she was dating the sim of Robin Hood.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got the first season on DVD, but it took a weird turn that, like, Arthurian legend, Robin Hood legend, I really love those things, and when they divert too far away from it. It just...
I don't know. I'm willing to go ahead and... I mean, because it's a TV show, I'm willing to go ahead and suspend my disbelief if I'm enjoying it. And with Merlin so far, I am enjoying it. And I think they're going to be coming up on season 5 that starts in October or whatever. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I like it.
Yeah, but you also like... what's the name of that show where the girl dies and then finds herself in the body of someone else?
Oh, Drop Dead Diva.
Yeah.
You know what?
So your opinion comes with conditions.
Yeah, he does have a bit of a point there.
No, he likes...
Like, he has a great point there.
No. There's nothing wrong with Drop Dead Diva. I need to have my guilty pleasures, too. It's not like I'm watching soap operas or Jersey Shore.
I understand that, but a lot of your...
Nobody's watching soap operas anymore because they're off the air. But
No. Days of Our Lives is still on. Young and the Restless is on. Bold and the Beautiful is still on.
But either way... where was I going with this? I don't remember. But, yeah... I mean, seriously, I mean, there's a difference between, like, actually, I can't say that, because a guilty pleasure of mine is True Blood and Ghost Adventures.
Well, there's a difference between your entire list of, you know, things that you enjoy being guilty pleasures and there being a small portion of your entire list that is a guilty pleasure. If the majority of your list is stuff that is commonly considered a guilty pleasure, then for you, it is not a guilty pleasure. It is actual fandom.
Hey, are you trying to say that a majority of what I like is you know, quote-unquote guilty pleasures? Is that what you're trying to insinuate here?
No, sweetie.
That's what I'm insinuating. I'm allowed to say the things that he's not allowed to.
Thank you, Tom.
No, you know what? I like the Tudors, and I like Rome, and I like Spartacus, and stuff like that.
Yes.
And
because you like Jane by Design, and you like Drop Dead Diva, and you like,
That's two shows, uh-huh.
There are more. I don't remember all the names of the shows, though.
And Chappelle's Show, and Ren and Stimpy.
Yes, okay.
Well, you just lost me right there.
What? You don't like Ren and Stimpy?
Dude, whatever. I bet you don't even like Transformers Prime.
No.
You are so missing out.
To be fair, neither one of us has seen Transformers Prime.
Dude, the first episode has The Rock.
That's the one you were telling me about, yeah.
Yeah, the one where Steve Bloom, Mr. Badass of Badassington, kills The Rock. The opening minutes of the show. I mean, it's Spike Spiegel, man.
Yeah.
And Wolverine.
Okay.
It's, you know? From what Tom and Adam and others have said, Transformers Prime is a good Transformers show.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a very good Transformers show.
I like the Transformers. I appreciate the Transformers. But my days of being able to watch the series about Transformers, I think those days are long gone. I know.
You're dead to me.
I don't know. It just, you know, it's one of those things. If it's the classic from when, you know, I was growing up, okay. You know, and I'm the same way when it comes to the old X-Men cartoons, you know, the Saturday morning things, but I can't get into the new stuff. Don't know what to tell you.
You're still dead to me.
That's nice.
Because here's the thing. Transformers needs two things to be successful. One is Peter Cullen. The original Optimus Prime.
Stop typing, sweetie.
Well, I'm trying to tell you that I can hear your mouse and you're clicking.
Okay, and I just heard a hailstorm on the roof from your keyboard.
Petty. So one is Peter Cullen, the original Optimus Prime. And two is Frank Welker, the original Megatron. And if it has those two things, it will be fine. Hence why the Michael Bay Transformers movies were so terrible. They only had one half of the equation.
Well, it also had, what is it, God Bless the Beef?
Oh, thank God for beef.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie did have a lot of problems. Well, all three of them.
Well, and then there was also old What's-Her-Face
Megan in Fox. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, too. Well, let's be honest. Any movie that's called Transformers, it would lead one to believe is about a group of giant spacefaring robots that transform into stuff and not about an annoying teenage kid, his family, and a military boner fantasy.
Pretty much. It should have been about the robots, not about the humans.
Yeah, should have been.
Should have been.
But either way, Transformers Prime is great. You should check it out. I would say check it out on Netflix, but, well.
Womp womp.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, I'll look into it some more, see if anything's stances. Changed.
But in other streaming news real quick, seasons 1 through 5 of Red vs. Blue, The Blood Gulch Chronicles are available now for streaming on Hulu.
Hmm.
With limited commercial breaks, even though you pay for it.
No, like Hulu, I think it's on normal free Hulu.
Interesting.
As well. I'll look right now.
Yeah, you do that. You go and you look.
I am looking.
So, I wonder if it were Superman versus the Dark Phoenix. What do you think?
Superman.
Why?
So much of the Phoenix's power is derived from similar things of solar power, thus meaning that everything that the Phoenix does would essentially just fuel his power.
That, and I think Superman is just faster.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the reason. That's one of the key things, except when he's fighting someone like The Flash, where speed doesn't become such a differentiating factor. Superman versus the Hulk, speed. Superman versus, a non-powered human being like Batman, speed. Superman versus Dark Phoenix.
Just real quick on the speed thing here. In a canon story, Identity Crisis, Deathstroke effectively took out the Flash, fastest thing in existence, simply because of planning. He knew where the Flash would be coming at him and took the Flash out of the fight, even though he is barely faster than a normal human being.
Okay.
Took out the Flash. So
I would say it depends on the circumstances
but
engagement.
The Flash,
yeah.
The Flash doesn't have intelligence like Superman does.
Yeah, but Superman doesn't have intelligence like Superman does either, unless the writer decides to give it to him.
It depends. Here's the thing. You have to imagine that as an investigative reporter of some renown, he has to be at least capable of some sort of detective work above and beyond a normal human being.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But at the same time, he's not like Batman, who's trained by the best detectives in the world, or Lex Luthor, who is the most intelligent human in the world.
Granted.
You know, but either way, I think one thing that we have to look at, too, is that the Phoenix is ultimately dependent on the squishy human being that is serving as the vessel for the power. And going off of Dark Phoenix, which implies Jean Grey,
yep.
Jean Grey is inherently significantly more squishy than Superman. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
Wolverine took her out. You know.
Wow. Wait, yeah. Are you... Please tell me you're not referring to X-Men 3.
No,
I'm referring to the...
Okay.
Yeah, canon.
Right. Yeah,
Jean Grey death is Wolverine took her out.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to go ahead and make sure.
No, that...
Otherwise,
Phoenix,
we were
going to
have a bad time.
God, there's so much wrong with that movie.
Yeah.
Are you and you're referring to when Wolverine took her out, they were on Asteroid M, headed towards the sun?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. That's the one, Lindsay, I was telling you about in the car.
Yeah.
Where he walks out.
I know.
And like they burn together after
but
he
it's
kills
cool.
her. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's why Wolverine is the man, and Cyclops is just a dick.
Yeah. Cyclops is such a douche.
Dude,
like,
he's
seriously.
God, he's a in Avengers versus X-Men right now. He's just, God, he's bad.
He's douching it up.
I only read the opening piece where Cable is trying to.
Oh, X sanction.
Yes.
Yeah. No, there's a great bit in they did an infinite release, the new cool digital format that Marvel's playing with. That's really fun. And it's just a little one-off, and it's after he's gotten part of the Phoenix Force, and he goes up to the moon, in the place where Jean Grey originally got the crap kicked out of her.
When
and
she lasered herself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's this bit where he like creates a construct of her out of the moon dust and from his own memories and everything, and basically is trying to like it's like giving voice to his subconscious and like his everything that's like kind of fighting in him against all this power. And it's just, man, he's fallen so far even for him.
Yeah,
like he's gotta die.
Well, it's I think it was pretty well covered in Schism.
Yeah.
When he essentially managed to turn Storm from leaving with Wolverine to staying with him because he had surrounded himself with people who at one point could easily have been labeled supervillains. And he needed someone to keep him from falling into that, but he was already too far gone at that point.
I'm still wondering how the Marvel Universe was okay with, you know, Magneto not in a plastic prison somewhere.
I don't know.
Like, I mean, seriously, that guy is terrible.
Like, well, he's Magneto.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, seriously, I mean, it's not like, say, Wolverine, who pretty much everything he ever did was for a country as a soldier.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is a guy who was a flat-out terrorist.
He is.
And Cyclops is all like, come be my friend. You are my advisor now.
Yeah. Well, and he's gone so far beyond even... He may not have gone to the lengths that Magneto has gone to, but his philosophy has gone so far beyond Magneto's now.
Yeah.
And what he's willing to do, like with X-Force, at least Magneto would act in the open.
Yeah. Well, X-Force now is pretty much entirely Wolverine's thing. Mm. And Beast is not happy about that at all, nor is Iceman.
Right, because they're running the school.
Yeah, Wolverine, like one of the first issues of that, he came out and was like, got all of the senior staff and was like, all right, I'm just letting you all know this now. I may run a clandestine hit squad. You know, and then Beast is all like, you're still an asshole.
Yeah.
But I believe in what you're pitching with the school. Man, I need to get caught up on that. Apparently somebody died in the last issue. Huh. I think it was Phantom X.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember
right now, the storyline they're going on now is the Brotherhood of Mutants is returning, and they commissioned a series of assassins to take out the individual members of the X-Force.
Mm.
Yeah. So like Mystique went for Phantom X. Some really powerful psychic went after Psylocke. They sent like these three kind of clones of Omega Red after Nightcrawler, Wolverine, and Deadpool. So it's kind of crazy. Dude.
And this is Age of Apocalypse Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler is still dead.
Yep, classic Nightcrawler is still dead. This Nightcrawler is a badass.
Yeah, no, I've read some things with him in it, and he's just...
Yeah, the issue you really need to get for him is the unkillable kill.
Okay.
Which also has an amazing Deadpool moment at the beginning.
Okay.
So, I know you love your Deadpool.
Absolutely.
Deadpool. Dude, that game looks fun.
It does.
I really hope it is over the top as all craziness.
It has to be. I mean, it has... The gameplay mechanics, make them unrealistic. Make them over the top. Because that's really what it needs to be.
You know what? If there aren't parent groups protesting that game, it has failed. I'm just putting that out there now. High Moon needs to, like, that needs to be their goal. You know, they need to, like, they should go into every production meeting going, how are we going to piss parents off with this milestone?
On top of that, they need to be under threat of lawsuit from many different developers for using intellectual property from all of them. Deadpool just needs to talk shit about every other game, use their special moves, use their quotes, all kinds of shit.
Oh, yeah. If he doesn't, like, mention Batman, Superman, the Savage Dragon, and, I don't know, some obscure, crazy, Invincible, like, at least 10 times, he failed. Each. Speaking of Invincible, I read a couple issues of that. That's a really good book.
I have not read that one.
It's one of the Image books. It's really good.
I read through most of Irredeemable. That one was pretty good.
I've heard good things. I haven't gotten to that one yet.
As far as I've read in it, it's actually really good. It takes the essentially Superman going bad and snapping under the pressure of everyone expecting so much from him all the time. It takes that and really does a good job of it.
Yeah. Like, oh man, yes, if Superman went rogue, that would be a very interesting situation. Red Sun is a really good look at how that would go.
Mm. You know, when he lands in Russia instead?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good limited series.
When he took down the Green Lantern Corps, that was pretty awesome. Or, I'm sorry, the Green Lantern Marine Corps.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, ultimately, though, look how that ended up. Lex Luthor kicked his ass.
That it was a strange, very strange Elseworld.
Well, the way that it all comes down is that at the ultimate core of Superman's character, there is a single irrefutable part of who he is, and that is his morality.
Yes.
You know, and it's just his inherent morality and nobility. And, I mean, it would take something amazingly severe to get him to forget that, you know. And so it's just even when he goes rogue, he still plays by a set of rules.
Well, it's, you know, you've read Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
So he finally snaps after what happens in Kansas.
Yeah.
And after the breakout at the Gulag and the big battle and the nukes. And he goes to the United Nations, and he's about to bring the entire building down out of pure rage. And all it takes is Norman McRae reminding him of who he is and why he is who he is for him to get talked down from it.
Yeah, well, first off, I need the absolute edition of that. Secondly, I mean, if the rage was that big or was that huge for him, I mean, he could have brought that building down so fast. Even the Spectre couldn't have stopped him.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, Superman, even when Superman goes wrong, he wants to be stopped.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he left the opening to get talked down from it or stopped physically by someone or something. Otherwise, he could have just taken out the support structure.
Yeah, he's the cry for help guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, no offense to Superman, but that's just who he is. And that's part of why I don't always like him. He's just so boring. You know, I mean, only a few Superman stories have ever been around that I really enjoyed. You know, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Jeff Loeb's Superman for All Seasons.
Yeah.
Like that's a really great story. But part of that is also because it's not told from his perspective. It's told from the perspective of the outsiders, the onlookers, you know, Lana Lang, Lois Lane, Lex Luthor, and Pa Kent.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's where Superman is interesting, because Superman is, he's really kind of boring, you know, but when you look at him from the outside, when he is a force of nature, when he is a universal constant, you know, that's when he becomes really interesting, when you see the impact of his actions, you know, and that's again why Kingdom Come is so powerful, because it is that onlooker.
Right. Norman.
Yeah, it's that normal person with those, the good, down-to-earth kind of morals.
I will say, Kingdom Come is one of my favorite DC books.
It's one of the best comics.
I could read that over and over and over.
This one's the best comic books ever written.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Oh, superhero-wise, anyway.
Right.
I mean, along those lines, Justice is also really good.
I read Justice. I liked it. The Kingdom, the follow-up to Kingdom Come, I thought was nuts. A failure. Yeah.
Yeah. They shouldn't have done that.
No.
They really shouldn't have. Yeah. But no, Justice, the best part of that whole book is there towards the end, and there's the Joker in, like, that old seersucker suit,
mm-hmm.
and he's just, like, just blowing everything up, and he's like, and this is why you invite me to the party. Because, I mean, that is, like, the ethos, the pure ethos of the Joker. It's just, like, if you don't include me in the plan, I'm going to screw it up. Not because I believe in, you know, helping the good guys out, but because I just wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, let me in on the mayhem. That's all I want to do.
The killing joke was one of my favorites, too. But that's kind of an easy one.
That is.
It's like but, the I mean, Yankees.
But it's so... No, that's not easy. It's not easy to like the Yankees.
Okay, it's like...
liking bacon.
Sure.
There we go.
There you go.
But, like, I mean, the pure brilliance of Killing Joke, though, are those last few pages.
Yes. As he's down, he's waiting to be beat up, and he tells that joke, and you get the little laugh out of Batman.
Yeah, and it just... not even just that, but just that lead up to it with Batman of just like, why do you keep doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want me to kill you? Is that, do you want this to end? Because you're going to push me far enough one day, or I'm going to push you, and it's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, God, like if they ever get to that point in DC Comics where Batman is pushed that far and he kills someone. Like, man, just imagine that day.
That's gonna...
like
that'll
like
be a
that
major
would...
paradigm shift for the character.
If it
doesn't break him completely.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like... that would be the biggest face-to-heel turn ever. You know?
I think if just... I think if he does do it, I want it to be the Joker, because I want that to be like the ultimate, yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the point of Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Was to drive Harvey Dent from the White Knight of Gotham to, you know, down to the Joker's level, to everyone else's level.
Well, that's the thing. I've been thinking about these Batman movies a lot recently for obvious reasons. And everybody kind of looks at it and goes, oh, well, you know, Dark Knight was an adaptation of The Long Halloween. That's not entirely wrong. But it's also so much the Killing Joke. You know, it's just that, the Joker is just like, look how far I can push a normal human being. And then it's just you do one crazy thing to their life and they become just like me.
Yeah. I would say it is more like the Killing Joke and what he did to Gordon than it was like Long Halloween. That basic concept is really what the Killing Joke was all about. That was the whole thing with the circus. The circus that he bought and the funhouse and all that.
Yeah, the Joker does like having long, elaborate setups for his punchlines, essentially.
Yeah.
Just yeah, makes it all the more delicious.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing that sucks, is that, you know, you have... Like, Joker is quite... Joker's the greatest comic book villain ever. I mean, it's just... I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dr. Doom. I'm sorry, Mirror Master, Gorilla Grodd,
Magneto.
Magneto, yeah, he probably is one of the few Galactus. People that really comes really close. Santa. You know, but it's just... But because with Joker, you just have no clue what he's ever going to do. And he just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, he will fuck your day up simply because you're wearing blue.
Well, it's the Joker is pretty much the embodiment of that popular meme right now. Look at all the fucks I give.
Yeah. Mm. Although, man, he's coming up in the next big arc in Batman from Scott Snyder. I cannot wait. Like, seriously. I mean, especially, like, I mean, Scott Snyder just finished up the Court of the Owls event, and that was just sheer brilliance. You know, so... He had a great interview where it's like, Superman versus the Hulk, Batman. Iron Man versus Gorilla Grodd, Batman. You know, and I was just like, I can get behind this guy.
Because he makes no sense?
Yeah. I also follow him on Twitter, and he said thank you when I told him that Court of the Owls was one of the best Batman stories ever told. Hmm. And I was all like, oh my god, he said hi to me.
Oh my god, I got tweeted at. I was going to say, I wonder though, when you're talking about like the Joker and stuff like that, and he's, you know, doing that, do you think that we're ever going to come to a point where we've already, you know, that we've done so many things with the Joker that it's like, I don't really know what else that he can do.
Yeah, I think really we are. I mean, I think we're going to get to a point where people are just going to have to rehash, reboot, or reprint old stories. You know, because it's just, I mean, the Joker can only go so far. You know,
well.
I mean, it's just, I mean, he can go really, really far, but there's only so far he can go before he starts getting diminishing returns on his craziness.
Well, but see, you know, and one of the great things about it is he may have this elaborate setup, and it's just a very minor payoff. And yeah. For him, it's still completely satisfactory because he got his payoff, and whatever internal reason he had for it is fulfilled. So you can, and then, you know, Batman's situation changes every now and then. He gets a new sidekick or a new lady love who suddenly knows his identity, or one of his old sidekicks has gone off and is doing something new. There's still a very dynamic world for the Joker to play around in.
Well, hey, at the very least, eventually for shock value, they can always have the Batman Catwoman wedding.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'd buy that issue.
I think a lot of people would.
Dude, especially it's crazy because the first issue of the New 52 Catwoman ended with Catwoman and Batman doing it.
Seriously? Like, I didn't read
it. Yes. Yeah, seriously. The end of issue one of Catwoman is her and Batman doing it. Masks and costumes on and everything.
Oh, God.
It's pretty hilarious almost. But you know what? Whatever. That's like their thing, you know? They had this really weird dynamic. And it was in Hush where Batman actually revealed his identity to Catwoman.
Mm, Hush was so good.
Hush was a pretty good story. Man, Batman really does have some of the best villains. And that's why Batman wins in every fight.
No. Batman has one of the best villains. He's got some other decent villains, but...
Like Penguin or Riddler.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze. Come on.
Dude, New 52 Mr. Freeze is a badass. They introduced him in the Batman Annual, and with his new backstory and everything, that's akin to his backstory from Batman the Animated Series, except a lot creepier. So.
Well, is he still making those horrible jokes?
No. That was only Arnold Schwarzenegger that made those terrible jokes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So, he's got the Joker. You know, arguably the best, or at least one of the best villains. But you do have so many other great villains out there. And, you know, everyone, every character seems to have their main villain that is a top-tier villain, and then they've just got the rest.
Except for Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman has Cheetah.
Cersei.
Yeah. Although now in New 52, she's kind of pissed off the Pantheon, so she's got a few of them that kind of hate her.
Ares? But,
no, I think she's cool with Ares.
Really?
But like Hades, Hera, like she's pissed off the top tier of the Pantheon.
Isn't Hera responsible for Wonder Woman's life?
Well, no. In New 52, Wonder Woman's actually the daughter of Zeus.
Okay.
Zeus and Hippolyta got it on, and Hera hates all of Zeus's children.
Right. Always has, always will.
Yeah.
So she's got a big problem with Wonder Woman.
So Wonder Woman is no longer made from clay and then given life by Hera.
Well, she was always told that's how it was, but then she recently, like in the first big story arc, that's she found out that that wasn't actually true.
Okay.
So she is a demigod.
Yeah.
She already kind of was, but now she's like
official,
even more right. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what needs to happen now is the crossover between her and Kratos. Dude, God of War 3, second best moment of that game, fighting Hercules, voiced by Kevin Sorbo.
Kevin Sorbo came in to voice it?
Yes, he did.
I have to play the game now.
No, you don't.
Oh, but come on.
No, like
Hercules, the Legendary Journey, that was phenomenal television.
The Ryan Gosling
version was good too. It was so cute.
They also
Adventures of Young Hercules.
God of War 2, Perseus was in it, voiced by George Hamill or whatever his name is that played him in.
This wasn't George Hamilton.
Clash of the Titans. Oh, it's a Hamill.
It wasn't George Hamill. It was
Harry Hamlin.
Yeah, Harry Hamlin. Yeah. That's the only Clash of the Titans movie that exists as far as I'm
concerned.
That's
worth watching?
Well, it's the only one that exists as far as I'm concerned. The other shit didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah. But Ursula Andress played Aphrodite.
I don't know who that is.
Really?
Or I probably don't know her name. Like, what has she been in?
Oh, you mean in the Harryhausen Clash of the Titans?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the recent.
Absolutely no.
And she'd be way too old for that.
Yeah.
Ursula Andress was one of the Bond girls.
Oh.
Doctor No.
Yeah, the first Bond girl, then.
Well, I mean, if she was in Clash of the Titans, then I remember what she looked like, but I'd never... You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, man, I loved that movie growing up.
Me too. I used to remember every Sunday in the newspaper how they had, like, those TV guides that would come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to go through the TV guide, and I would highlight whenever Clash of the Titans would come on and whenever Crawl would come on. And
I did not enjoy Crawl.
Oh, I loved Crawl. That's the first movie that Liam Neeson was in, because previous to that, he was a boxer, and that's the reason why his nose is the way that it is.
Yeah, I would have hoped for a better first movie, but at least his current movies are amazing.
Yeah.
Dude, Taken 2. Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. We were talking about that, actually, a few weeks ago. And I guessed what the plot point would be without having heard about any of it, and I just don't know if it's necessary.
No, you know what? It's not, because let's be honest here. If I were those Armenians, I'd be like, nope, done. That guy not only screwed up all of our Armenian friends, but also went all the way up to the top of that chain and screwed up all the people that were buying people.
Right.
Sorry, spoilers. You know, yeah, I'd be
seen Taken by now.
You're missing out.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'd cut my losses at that point and be like, you know what? I'm sorry we lost Carl and his friends, but but whatever, man. We're still
sorry
breathing.
We lost Bob.
Like Fred, I'm sorry we lost your kids, but Liam Neeson killed him.
Yeah.
That's all
revenge?
Right.
Yeah. No. Liam Neeson's involved. That guy was a Jedi.
Yeah. And I never liked those kids too much anyway. Forget about it.
Yeah. Let's be honest, like, the only way you're going to beat Liam Neeson is if your name is Darth Maul.
I was just about to say. Oh, no, never mind. I was going to ask a question, but I don't want to know the answer.
Well, now I'm curious.
Yeah, you got to ask it now.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, we saw what happened to Ra's al Ghul.
Okay, don't ask the question.
Yeah.
Well, no. Batman didn't kill Ra's al Ghul.
He
allowed him to die.
But the third one.
We'll see it this weekend, and we'll wait then. I've got my mouse over the end call button.
I am simply quoting what happened to Batman Begins.
Yeah.
He said, you know, Batman goes, and I quote, "I'm not going to kill you, or I can't kill you, but I don't have to save you."
Right. So technically, even though we see the explosion, we never directly see Ra's al Ghul's body coming apart in fire.
Is it Ra's or Ra's?
The original cartoon refers to him as Ra's, and then he's referred to in the movies as Ra's, and in the Arkham series, he's Ra's. So
I prefer Ra's.
I think, it sounds a little bit cooler.
Well, and Ra's, with the apostrophe, the S, that doesn't fit in the Arabic name.
Yeah,
Ra's does.
It also just reminds me far too much of Frasier's producer.
Yeah. Well, see, I know multiple people named Ra's just because Persian family and friends, but they're all female as well.
And it's spelled differently.
And it's spelled differently. But no, it to me, it's always been and probably always will be Ra's.
See, that's hard-hitting journalism right there.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we should ask Tom what he thinks about what happened in Aladdin.
Oh, yeah. So you've seen the animated Aladdin movie, right?
The Disney Diamond in the Rough one?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about it?
So at the very beginning, Jafar is going to the Cave of Wonders with the humble thief Azim.
Yeah.
Azim steps in. You discover he is not the chosen one to enter the Cave of Wonders, and he's swallowed up by the Tiger King.
Totally dead.
You would think so. And then a matter of days later, it can't be more than a few days later from the way the movie seems to set up the plot, Aladdin goes to the Cave of Wonders. And you never see a body, you never see hey, there's a dude over there, what's going on? What happens to Azim?
That's right.
Well, I have a feeling that, A, the Cave of Wonders is quite large, so there are probably a whole bunch of places for a body to disappear to. B, it's magical, so for all we know, Aladdin never actually goes more than a couple feet down and, you know, into the sand, kind of like the TARDIS. You know, bigger on the inside.
Right.
So for all he knows, he's actually only about 3 inches away from Azim's body, which is just buried unceremoniously in the sand.
Well, I suppose we'll never know.
Yeah, when all else fails, two things. Magic and kids movie.
Kids movie solves what Lindsay's about to bring up.
Yeah, okay, so Jasmine's mom... Like, what the fuck's these?
Died in childbirth, that's my guess.
Yeah, okay, here's my problem that I have with that. Given the culture and the time period that they're in, having a male heir would be a pretty big fucking deal. So the Sultan would have remarried in order to go ahead and secure that.
You're applying logic and history to a Disney movie.
Yeah, I
The
am.
people that made a Robin Hood movie about a bunch of anthropomorphized animals that obviously should have had no way of propagating their own species by virtue of the fact that I think only a couple of them actually had corresponding members of their species, you know?
So, what are you trying to get at?
Oh my
So what I'm
God.
trying to get at is that you are applying way too much deep thought into a movie directed towards children.
But I
I'd
guess.
just like to jump in real quick and let everyone know that
What?
a Rudolph started 2 minutes ago.
What? God damn my broke laid off ass.
What started?
A
A
Rudolph.
Rudolph.
Oh.
Well,
What are they?
you know
Yeah,
Woot.com, right?
what are they selling?
Well, a Rudolph is pretty much 24 plus hours of really quickly going through a whole bunch of shit with the opportunity of multiple random bag of craps coming up.
The first thing is a screaming monkey with Woot cape.
For $1.99.
You know what? I don't want that.
No, but it'll run on a timer or until everything runs out, and then they'll go off to the next product and just keep going.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole bunch of days of Woot in a day.
That reminds me, the Steam summer sales just ended the yesterday. Did you get anything?
I did.
What'd you get?
I got the Civ collection.
I got Bastion, BioShock 1 and 2, Dear Esther, and Mirror's Edge. The most I spent on any game was $4.99.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, that is. Like, I never played BioShock 1 or 2, and I got both of them for $4.99.
I
Yeah, Mirror's Edge for like $3.50.
That's a
And
pretty good deal.
yeah, that game is awesome.
I never got into it.
Why is DICE only making Battlefield games? Why aren't they making more of those?
Don't know. I tried it. I couldn't really get into it.
I'm really digging it, and I really like the story too. Like the in between levels, they have that really cool, like kind of animated cutscene stuff with like this really almost like Flash cartoony vibe to it. And I think the part that I really am finding the most intriguing and fun about it is that the main character is a woman, but she isn't over-sexualized.
You don't even see her, do you? It's first person.
You see her in the cutscenes and stuff, but she's not like, like a Lara Croft or anything. She's not like this.
Bayonetta.
Yeah, she's a very normal person.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, it's like, why aren't there more normal people in games? Know?
Well, because nobody wants that, I guess.
I want that.
I mean, I here's the thing. I'd like to see it, but I doubt it's gonna happen.
Maybe bits and pieces. Depends on the game, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there were some great sales this year. The 8-hour sales events I thought were a really nice touch. I don't know if you saw this, but what they were doing was they were running every 8 hours they would switch out a deal,
Yeah,
and
you voted on it.
yes, they'd give you like
Yeah.
three options. And I
Yep.
noticed that a lot of people were voting for everything EA just to like stick it to them.
Good.
That's funny.
I know I may have been simply because I just wanted to get EA games at a bargain. Even though I didn't actually end up purchasing any of those 8-hour deals. But, you know, it was also nice, too, to see Modern Warfare 3 being offered at not $60.
Right.
Because you know, yeah. That game is still selling at $60 on Steam, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I was pleasantly surprised that the Civ collection I got, it cost me, it was like 20 some odd dollars, and I was able to get Civ,
wow,
I know, I got Civ 3 complete, and then I got Civ 4 with a bunch of extras, and then well, I
everything
essentially,
but Gods and Kings?
Well, yeah, essentially. So the only thing that I don't have is Gods and Kings, and I would have purchased it, but I shouldn't right now.
Yeah, I got I just purchased Civ 5 a few weeks ago at the normal price, but it was they did offer a complete pack, which gave all the little mini DLCs for it.
Yeah, I have all those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like so. Mesopotamia and Polynesia and shit.
I've really kind of enjoyed the hell out of that game.
The Civ series has always been phenomenal.
You know, like, I'm not good enough to play it on, like, the higher difficulties, but I don't care. I just have fun.
Yeah.
So, like, the most recent game I had, I was, I think I still have it, because I didn't get around to finishing it yet, but I was playing as England.
Uh-huh.
And, on the actual world map.
Nice.
Yeah. And they started me off in the Yucatan, and I control from, like, Central South America up through the Midwest into Canada and all this stuff. It's pretty funny.
That's crazy. No, yeah, I really want to get Gods and Kings. Like, oh, man, I seriously want to get Gods and Kings. I really want them to go ahead and come out with, like, a Civ Rev 2 for 360, even though I doubt that's going to happen.
I don't know. Yeah. Civ Rev was really good. It was a good way of simplifying the mechanics for a console, and I'm not sure it needs a sequel. Like, I can still keep playing it as is.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting the whatchamacallit, getting RTSs onto a console is really hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, what was it? Halo Wars is probably one of the best examples of that, and even that didn't control all that well.
Yeah, well, the thing, well, yeah. I mean, Civ is turn-based, and then Halo Wars is real-time. But, I mean, it's Civ. People will buy it.
Yeah. Probably.
Or they can at least release, like, a really good, like, expansion pack or something for it.
Now, an expansion, you know? I could get behind more than a sequel.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Because, I mean, with the way that they did it with Tropico 4 recently, that expansion is modern times. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. All right, so I pulled it up, and I have Quebec down to about Bolivia.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I'm missing Chicago right now because Edinburgh is there, and I don't feel like conquering them because they're giving me stuff.
Mm. It makes sense.
Yeah. And I don't feel like... starting a war with Alexander over the Western U.S. quite yet.
A wise decision.
Though I did just beat the crap out of the Aztecs for the Eastern U.S.
Nice.
They had it coming. They were jerks.
Yeah, they always are.
Yeah, and so, like, their capital of Tenochtitlan is up in, I guess, like, Portland, Maine. So it makes sense, you know?
We will have to compare Civs when I go ahead and get that going. I was fiddling around with Sims. Why do I keep saying Sims? Civ. I was playing Civ 3, so I installed that one first, and then I'll work my way to 4 and 5. Just to, I mean, I've played them before, but I just feel like progressing this way.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah,
so
might as well get my money's worth, my all 20 some odd dollars, even though it was like 130 something for. Yeah, I feel like I robbed Steam, I swear.
Sometimes I know that feeling, but you know what? Sometimes it just needs to happen.
That's right. Well, and then they're not going to have deals again like this until, what, Black
Thanksgiving?
Friday? Yeah. Right on. We are preparing ourselves.
Yep. Sounds like a good plan. So, I think Chris said we should probably wrap up.
I know.
Yeah. We've covered some good stuff. Go to bed.
Yeah, we've covered some pretty decent stuff, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, well, take it easy then, I guess, guys.
Have a good night.
All right. Good night, Chomtancy.
Good night, Arr.